If you're an artist or in a band that could use some extra exposure,
look no further than Underground Nation Magazine. They have everything you need to get some extra eyes on your project.
Get started on your custom marketing campaign, spanning web, social, and print today.
Visit underground-nation.com.
That's underground-nation.com for more info.
Underground Nation, the number one trusted source for underground music news.
You are listening to Tuesday Talk with Liz on Audibly Legible Radio Network, presented by Simplecast.
Yes, welcome back. Tuesday Talk with Liz. It is the 9th of February. Gosh, we're already into 2021 that deep.
Almost Valentine's Day.
Yes, yes. Go grab the one you love.
This is Liz with Tuesday Talk with Liz.
And you know me, Waka Waka.
The host.
The co-host.
How's everyone? I hope you've all been good these last 2 weeks.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, we've been doing a lot. We've got a lot going on. So
last 2 weeks, it's been a lot of rainy weather, cold weather, windy weather.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's going on pretty much wherever you guys are at as well. So
East Coast, and you guys got lots of snow out there.
Yeah, we hope you guys are safe. We know you guys are like 18 inches, I think.
In some places, yeah, it said.
It's crazy. So we're also, before we get into the specifics of what we're going to be talking about today, we want to also let you guys know that we're excited to be bringing Trevor home. We have a GoFundMe that you could find on our Audibly Legible Instagram, but we have a GoFundMe for Trevor, who is working hard for you guys and for the show and for the Weapon of the Masses. He's actually the manager now of our group, as well as maintaining Audio Crack Records and everything. So yeah, we're really doing everything that we can to get him from Oklahoma over here. So for those of you who have anything to help or know someone that could help, we're asking for donations to help him get his things over here. So that being said, we got a lot going on.
We watched quite a few movies.
Yeah, we watched. So let's start writing it down.
I'm gonna start with my favorite, which was Motherless Brooklyn with Edward Norton.
Okay, yeah, that one was really, really, really good. Who else was in that?
Bruce Willis.
That's
there
right.
was a lot of big names in that movie.
That's right. So that movie, right now, we watched that a couple weeks ago, so I'm having a little bit of a hard time recollecting that one exactly, but
it's about Edward Norton. He was
I remember he had a stutter.
He was adopted when he was young. He didn't know his mother or nobody. And he was kind of in the same foster home with Bruce Willis.
Oh, that's right,
and
yeah.
Bruce Willis named him Motherless Brooklyn.
Okay.
Because he didn't have a mother. But Bruce Willis and him, they were detectives.
That's right. That was the agency. So, yeah, lots of twists and turns. This is a great movie, you guys.
Edward Norton, let me tell you. He's got Tourette syndrome,
right?
In this movie, and he is absolutely phenomenal.
He does it really good. He definitely relays that message of someone who's you know got a thing.
He smokes a lot of weed to keep himself calm.
Right, and, which is also a very interesting thing that I think speaks to a lot of people, but. Yeah, so that was an interesting movie. I liked that movie a lot. I think it had a lot. It was well-rounded. It had a lot of action scenes and everything, but at the same time, it really drew you into the story. It was really well-written.
It was well-written. It's a good movie. So if there's anything you want to watch, it takes place like in the, I don't know, 40s or 50s, maybe even the 30s. But if you get a chance to watch it, watch that movie. Lots of great. Alec Baldwin's in it.
Yeah, just a really good movie.
Willem Dafoe.
Oh, yeah, Willem Dafoe. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good one. That's definitely a recommendation from Des and Liz.
Yeah, it's a nice weekender movie. So
what else did we watch?
Your favorite, the Bee Gees documentary.
Okay, so you guys, and I got to big ups Ari Spears. You guys can listen to his podcast on our network on Wednesdays. So you'll be able to check him out tomorrow. But man, I'm telling you guys, it's so ridiculous. Like, I heard him say that he watched it, and I was like, all right, I'll probably check it out. And we were in the living room, and we got the Fire Stick in there. And I was like, you know what, let's just see what's on. And I went through documentaries because it's just something I like to watch a lot. She's not so much into it, but she, if it's the right subject, she'll definitely get.
And I like the Bee Gees because, of course, I'm the disco queen.
Right.
So that was like part of my growing up in my disco clubs and stuff, dancing. But it was a super awesome
It was. Documentary. It really was. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I see what Aries was talking about him and his brothers. Specifically, Andy and what was it? The good looking one, baby.
Barry Gibb
and Andy. They were the better.
Andy was the youngest one.
Yeah, but he ended up coming, like, he was a late bloomer. He was like, you know, because he was the younger one. But the two middle ones were, you know, they were more just for the. You know, for their melodic section that they could, you know. But I'll tell you what, by the end, you're like, you're so enveloped in this story. And so, and what Barry says at the very end is just, it just, ooh, and just has you crying. I mean, I was totally like, I'm a grown man of 41, going on 42. And I'll tell you, that movie just tugs at you. So
and it's like, you know, like any sibling relationship, he had problems with his brother Robin, because they both had super phenomenal voices, and so it was always a competition between the two of who was going to sing the next new hit. So Maurice was just kind of in there just doing his part, but
right,
they even broke up for a minute,
right,
and yeah. He was the last one left. All three of his siblings passed away, and now he's all by himself. And what did he say at the end?
Oh, I don't want to give it away. I said that last part. I just gave it to him. I said that last part. We'll talk to you if you watch it. So, yes, definitely another high. This is the highly recommended for me. And I'm sure she'd say the same. It's highly recommended pick for us.
Yep, so. It's their new documentary release. So if you get a chance to watch it,
please.
Even if you don't get a chance, make it happen. Just watch it. So then after we watched that, of course, we went to Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so of course you had to do that because they explained so much about the way that soundtrack was put together. It was really original and everything at that time. And I'll tell you guys, that movie, Tony Manero, he's my son's age right now. Okay, at that time, my son is right now, he's 19 years old. And... you know, I think about that time. I'd even think about my time growing up and the experience that I had compared to my son. And I'm like, wow, I'm glad my son didn't have to grow up the way that I did. And not so much that I had to, but like without, I didn't see any other option. I grew up in, you know, geographically in this area. And I'm not going to bite into that idea that it's, you know, I'm a product of my environment, but. I'll say that it did have its part to play. And, you know, so making those decisions that I did, when I watched that movie, there is so many parallels with Tony Manero and the things that I did, and then how I kind of saw, you know, how I missed a lot of the things that a lot of my friends ended up having to experience. And I wonder why, you know, like I just, I'm not so much why, but I wonder, you know, if I had done things differently, you know, where I might be. But
he didn't live a very difficult life. Tony didn't. He went to work at the paint store or the hardware store. And I think he went to the club once a week or maybe twice. I think it was once a week because he couldn't afford it twice a week.
Right.
And then the rest of the time He was actually in a dance studio practicing his moves. So,
and so I think about this as him, right? He goes from being, as John Travolta, like he goes from being Vinnie Barbarino, right? The guy who, you know, up till then they're saying, you know, you can't break through from being a television actor to being a full length feature. And he did that, you know, and did it in a way that was so, you know, like had every guy, you know, doing the same thing. Every guy, hey, my hair, you know, don't mess with my hair.
Why you gotta slap my head?
You know, Mom, come on. You just gotta mess up my hair. You know, that's horrible. My bad. But yeah.
But again, I hadn't seen that movie in forever. And for us to sit there and good. Watch it again and watch all the old disco music. But the reason we watched it was because of the BG documentary.
So we watched it literally just because of that.
Right. And because when you watch the BG documentary, you'll learn that they didn't spend weeks writing songs.
No, and see, that was an interesting thing. Like, I can identify with that. Me and the guys from the Weapon of the Masses, we have a very similar writing style in that, look, they did, I think, what did they say, 3 albums in 1 year? Where back then, that wasn't done.
It was a lot of albums.
It was more like it took 1 year or 3 years to make one album in at that time. At literally at the time when the Bee Gees were, you know, and they break it down how they really never called themselves disco. They just thought that they were making, good music. Really high tempo, up tempo rather, dance music. And it was a very...
It was something like 10 or 15 albums in 1 year. It was ridiculously high because we were trying to figure out, like, oh my God, if there was 10 tracks on each one or 12, 13 songs on each album, that was like, I don't know, we came up with like 100 and something songs. That,
right.
And they didn't go home and write songs.
They were writing in the studio.
In the studio.
And that's something me and the guys can identify with, is that, excuse me, is that you have to, like, on some level, you can be prepared. You can have some of a verse or a hook ready. But when you get into the studio and you're hearing it in that sound setting, okay, because a lot of times the studio is set up particularly so that you could hear it in such an isolated location that you're hearing the sound as pure as it can be, and what it does is it creates, that thing that makes people want. So immediately, as soon as you hear it, you're like, oh hell yeah, and you get to like.
And they kind of wrote that whole album around Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
So when you hear those old songs like
More Than a Woman. What was the
what's a Saturday Night Fever song? It's
so, but each one of them they made these songs and they were kind of narrating a particular point in the movie. And
It's Staying Alive.
Staying Alive, right, yeah.
So Night Fever and How Deep Is Your Love. So they kind of like wrote a whole album just for that movie. So the point that I was trying to make is they sat down, and I'm not sure if they watched the movie or they saw parts of the movie, but they wrote songs according to the movie. And all those songs were written that same day, along with the music.
So we're saying this to say it was a phenomenal.
That was a great night.
Documentary and a phenomenal. If you haven't seen Saturday Night Fever, just watch it.
But don't watch it until you watch the Bee Gees documentary.
If you have that ability, watch the watch it. Or you could do it the other way around. You can do it the other way around, you know?
As long as you watch both, or try to at least get one in.
Yeah, and you won't be disappointed, I guarantee you. I don't care what genre you're from. Just saying. So, where does that have us now?
So, I watch a lot of movies with my granddaughter. So, we watched The Croats, two?
Is it the Croods or
the Croods or Croods? I don't know.
Croods. It's C R O O D S. So I don't know. We don't know which one it is. If
we're spelling C R O A D S. Yeah, the Croods.
I thought it was C R O O D S.
I'll look it anyways. Up. Anyway, it's this cute little cartoon about, you know, the caveman.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
It was super cute. Oh, it is Croods, babe.
So, you're right. Croods.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Croods. Yeah. So part two was super cute. My granddaughter's all into that stuff, so it's fun to just sit there and watch her.
You don't remember any of the?
I do. It was how they went from being on, like a, you know how cavemen live with rocks and
caves.
Stuff and caves. Well, they came out, which they hardly ever do, and they were shown the sun. So when the sun was going down, they saw another part on the other side that was green with grass, which had green grass, and they didn't have any grass where they were. So the papa picked them up and threw them across.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And he had to stay on there because, you know, volcano earthquakes and all that stuff happened and shook them. And I don't want to give too much away in case somebody wants to watch it with their child. Okay,
so it's
how they went from being cave people to actually living in a paradise.
So it's one of those like Pixar style animated. I don't know if it's actually Disney Pixar, but it's one of those style movies, and I haven't got my chance to watch it yet. So I'm sure I'll be able to.
And he likes cartoons, so he'll love it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then our next was The Lion King.
Oh, this one was actually really, really good, you guys. I'm gonna tell you right now.
And it wasn't the cartoon one.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, it was the live.
The live version.
Yeah. And really good. You know, it was good to have James Earl Jones back as Mufasa, and I think overall the performance of it was consistent, and you know,
it was just weird to see all the animals interact the way that they did.
It's really cool. I gotta say, this one, I liked it, but I think the one that we're going to discuss next is I liked a lot more because of the fact that it's the exact same style, one that we loved as the original, like, animated version style, the cartoon version style, but they redid, which was Aladdin. And man,
Will Smith is
wow. I mean, Will Smith has always been, I mean, I grew up with him, you know, I mean, from Parents Just Don't Understand, you know, like DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, you know, but man, I'm going to tell you right now, like, to watch that performance that he did was really good. And
The story's good. And just the part where he brings Aladdin to the castle, introducing him as King.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the Prince
Ali.
Prince Ali. Like that entire song and scene. I told Desmond, God, that must have
cost. It was elaborate.
Like,
it was elaborate.
I'm like, there goes thousands of dollars right there just in the.
Oh, the hundreds of thousands. Of that.
Yeah, it was so amazing and beautiful.
It was really something to watch. So that one, I got to tell you guys. That was something else. Yeah, really, 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 really good. I'm excited.
We that's one that we said we can watch over and over and over again. And then we watched a movie called Love the Coopers.
Love the Coopers, mm-hmm. Yes.
With John Goodman and Diane Keaton. Which I absolutely love.
It was a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those ones where you kind of, it's not what you expect when you first, like, start doing things, but when you first start watching it, it's not what you have what you expected it to be, but somehow you get drawn in and it elicits your emotions. It's one of those movies that you gotta like, once if you follow along, you're gonna find yourself in a place where it's, you know, it'll even for a man, it'll draw it out of you,
right? And it's about an older couple that's been together for a long time. Families all coming from all over to be with them for Christmas while they're fighting between themselves and discussing divorce without anybody else knowing what they're going through. So it was a very touchy movie. Again, Alan Arkin, one of our favorites in that movie.
Yeah. You guys, I'm gonna actually like backscape to this real quick because I want to mention the fact that if you guys haven't seen the movie Indian Summer, it's I think it's from the 80s, maybe 90s. Such a great movie. Alan Arkin again puts on a great performance. But I'm gonna tell you right now, these movies, the Love the Coopers and the Indian Summer, they're really adult. They're kind of, you know, there's a lot of dramatics involved with regards to it. But they make it entertaining, you know, they make it funny. The dialogue is, reigns true, and it feels like something. They make it feel like you're a part of their family. At least for the most part, you know.
It's a 1993 movie, Indian Summer.
Oh, see? Yeah. Yeah. And so...
And there's a lot of big actors and actresses in that movie. So we watched that as well. And, you know, Diane Lane. Yeah. Alan Arkin. I mean, Elizabeth Shue. I mean, there was so many people in there that we just absolutely liked. And... Bill Paxton, rest in peace, Mr. Bill Paxton. But yeah, that was a super cool movie. My first time watching it. That's like another movie that I love that I tell you that I like.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that's one I grew up with. I remember watching that when I was young, and even back then, you know, I was all like super rebellious and into hip hop music and all this stuff. But I liked something about that movie like spoke to me. I don't know what it was. So
it's about kids that, if you haven't seen Indian Summer, it's about kids that go to a
summer camp when they were kids, right? And I guess it's closing down,
right? Alan Arkin is Uncle Lou. He actually lives there and runs
the camp, and he wanted to get them all back together for one last little hoorah. And so you guys can figure out the rest.
Yep.
But it's a good movie, so another definitely recommended one for all you guys out there.
And then our last thing we did was, do you want to say hi to everybody? Our granddaughter snuck in.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth.
My name's Elizabeth.
My name is Elizabeth. Come and have my putty because it's so trash.
She brought putty inside. To show us. And
she went to the Discovery Center today, the museum. So
yes. Yes, my God, just... squishy putty.
Some squishy putty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she just came in right now. She knows that her granny and her Papa Dez is doing Tuesday Talk with Liz.
It's so squishy putty. Kind of squishy putty.
Okay. Not a squishy. Okay, you can't scream. What did granny say about you can't scream in the microphone? And then the other thing we watched was a few other documentaries about India.
Of course, several actually. They were good actually. Like, we learned some interesting facts. I didn't write anything down, so there's nothing I can like recollect off of the top. But I'll tell you this, it was very, interesting to hear, and see a lot of, like, I'm looking forward when we get a chance to get out there, 'cause I know there will come a time, to eat some of the food. I'm really looking forward to trying some of the food out there. And seeing how that tastes more than anything. I think, right, I mean, like... The
country's beautiful. There's just so many different parts of India, so many different... And I don't know if we ever checked if they were states, provinces.
there's so many languages. So the thing is that they were saying, look, if you come here to visit, don't worry if you don't understand like the places that you, because even people that live there have a hard time understanding all the different languages and dialects. So
there's several hundreds of them, they say.
Yeah. So don't worry about that. And so, but to those of you guys, to our, all of our fans in India, like, we'd like to learn more about your culture, you know, and particularly like, because we see about like the gods that you worship and all this stuff. We just like to, like, to anybody who would like to share with us, reach out to us. You guys have all of our information via social media or on our, just hit us up on our email, right? audiblylegibleradio2020@gmail.com. That's audiblylegibleradio2020@gmail.com.
So send us some information, because we do want to know what India's like. That is our first go-to place. So that's something that we have on our radar to do within the next couple years, is go to India for about 9 or 10 days.
Maybe more, depending. But that's, look, this is, it all really depends on how much of this we can subsidize. We would love for people to be able to have us out. If there's anybody that could maybe help put us up while we're out there, you know, that would be wonderful, you know, something just, you know, we would be up for new experiences, as long as, you know, I see that there's places that you sleep on the ground. I would request that we would have somewhere at least with, you know, for my wife and myself, you know, because I have to be concerned for her well-being. Somewhere where at least we have a bed where her and I, you know, it doesn't have to be a big bed, but somewhere we can share together. I know I'm getting a little too specific, a little too proactive.
If we have to sleep on the floor, we'll sleep on the floor, but let me have a little mat.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm good at that.
I'm just trying to, you know, but yeah, so that's, you know, we're really excited about trying to figure out if going out there is something that, but that's just the first place. That's the first immediate place, so that we can meet with our listeners. You know, the people who listen to us the most. We can set up a way for you guys to meet with us and say, hey, you know, well, hopefully we can bring some merch. When I say that, I mean merchandise, shirts or anything. What, you know, tell us what you guys need, you know, like maybe you may not need shirts, or you may not need what we're, tell us, like, and then we'll see if we can't put something with the, you know, have whatever it is that you may need with the Audibly Legible Radio logo on it and bring it on out. But these are just something for the future that we're looking towards right now. So to speak a little bit more specifically, this last weekend we had the Super Bowl Sunday. I guess congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs, who were last year's winners. And I'm going to tell you guys, I wasn't really, over the last 4 or 5 years, I've kind of lost interest in NFL. Just the whole bureaucracy, I guess, for me is something that I've just never, I'm kind of good with. I'm done with all that. So, I guess I'm saying that to say that I didn't really watch that, because I believe it was Friday night that we went. Mm-hmm. So Friday night, so those of you who know, like, I'm not an avid gamer until just recently. And
we got Halo.
We had gotten Halo 4. We got the GTA Grand 5. Auto, uh-huh. And we have
Black Ops.
Call of Duty Black Ops. Mm-hmm. And Black Ops 2. Oh, no, Black Ops. Yeah, just the original. And I already beat Halo 4. I'm halfway through what's it called? Call of Duty. And so I wanted a challenge, right? And I wanted to do something else. And
I bought him Skyrim.
Okay, but the reason why we got into Skyrim is because
my love for Zelda.
She had a thing. Now, explain to the people your experience with Zelda, because look, let's be fair. There's probably people out there that can relate to that on a lot of levels, and
so my husband didn't know about me was I was a huge gamer. Zelda, Metroid, Mario's. I did all of them all the time.
She's talking about the original 8-bit Nintendo Entertainment System video game. Okay, yep. So this is the stuff from... This is what set the trend, you guys.
So when I got into Zelda, I became obsessed. I couldn't sleep. I didn't eat. All I did was play Zelda. And it got to a point where I would turn the game off and go to bed. And in my dream, I figured out how to beat the next challenge. And I would get up in the middle of the night and start playing. Well, it turned out that I wasn't going to work. So I had to go to the doctor and tell my doctor that I had already called out of work too many days that I'm going to need a doctor's note. And I just told him I was addicted to Zelda. And it actually took me out of work for 2 weeks, and it ended up like putting me on disability for 6 weeks total out of work because I couldn't stop it. But after about the second week of being off, I literally turned the game off and had to leave my apartment. I was that obsessed with it. Like, if I didn't leave and go to my mom's house or somewhere during the day, I just thought about it all the time. Until it literally took me probably the next 4 weeks to actually just stop. But I picked it back up, just learned how to turn the game off and leave it off. Until I beat it, of course. So...
And so, for me, hearing that, like, I went in before she purchased Skyrim knowing that. And I was like, well, okay. You know, that's you. You know, that won't happen to me. And I'm going to tell you guys, we went and purchased it in the evening. It was like, what, 5, 6 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
We
got Friday back night.
Mm-hmm. Got back about 6 o'clock. And I ate my, we had the lasagna, mm-hmm. finished my lasagna, and I got right into it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you guys, from whatever time it was when we got back, it was 6-something. I know it was 6-something in the afternoon, Pacific Standard Time here in Las Vegas.
I don't know, because we left right after work.
Was it right afterwards?
Yeah.
Well, what did we? We did. We just went and got in.
Yeah, we just. I got
so
off.
So then
of
it
work.
Must have been like three.
It was like 3 o'clock.
Four maybe.
Because he said to be here by 3:30. Like he said he was going to be home right. at 3:30. So good time
must
to
have
meet
been
me there.
Four or five. It might have been 5 then.
So we got home around 4 o'clock. Then we ate dinner, and then it was probably around 5:30 before he turned his game on.
And so, I go in, and. And right away, I did a little, I watched the preview, I did tutorials, and I was like, okay, cool. So I already knew kind of what the story was. I remember watching it when I watched my son, I had it a long time ago, and I watched my son play it. And I'm going to tell you, it was, right away, you're kind of like, okay, one task after the next task after the next task. And if it was 5 o'clock, you know, I looked at the clock and all of a sudden it was 9 o'clock and my wife was in bed.
I tell you, by midnight, I already knew it encapsulated him. So I just got my jammies on, washed my face, brushed my teeth, laid there in the bed, was watching him. And I told him, I said, I can't even tell you what time I fell out. And then the next day I asked him, I said, babe, what time did you come to bed? And what did you say,
5
babe?
O'clock in the morning. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And so this is the first time I ever, you know, without drugs having that kind of effect. Unless I was a kid. You know, when you were young, you're a kid, you want to stay up late and you do things like that.
And if you knew my husband, you would know that he loves his sleep.
Oh, my God.
Like, he needs it. But 5 o'clock, he said he came to bed. By 10 o'clock, he was wide awake and back in that damn chair.
I can't tell you, like, what it did to me.
It's still doing it
because as soon as I'm done here and I mix this down, me and her are gonna go in there and look it. I'm gonna tell you, she's my rock though, because between her and I, we have what it takes to beat that game. Me alone, I don't have the patience enough to go back. I know that if I could sit down with her, she will sit there. She'll have her little game. She'll either be candy crushing or she'll be on her slots on her phone. But she will look up and she'll be like, babe, this, this, and that. Sometimes it's a little bit like, babe, I know.
He gets annoyed with me and then I'm quiet. But I said, you have to go back and look.
We're good. We work well. But when she's on it, when I really need her, she's there. And that's when it's like, okay. And I'm just like, I don't know. The weird thing about this particular game, for those of you who don't know about so the Skyrim that I'm playing is Elder Scrolls. Okay. Man, it's so complex. The map is so vast. First off, it's got such a huge map, and
he tried to compare it to Zelda. Let's just put it like that.
And that was the whole reason why I wanted to get it.
I'm like, with Zelda, he didn't have 16 different swords or different boots or all these things. He just had, from the beginning to the end, just the things that got him to go, things that got him into the middle, and then things that took him to the end. On this Skyrim, he's only allowed to carry a certain amount of pounds.
Well, depending on where you are.
Some of his swords are 20 pounds.
Yeah, and more.
Yeah, and then he's got to carry food and life and,
potions.
And I told him, I said, you don't want me to sit in that chair and take that remote because you'll never get it back. I'm good on the sideline right now, just coaching him through it.
Well, look, I know that there's going to come a day where she's going to eventually, like, I'm going to be gone somewhere, and then when I come back and she'll be like, babe, I just passed so-and-so. You know what? You're now past Thalmor's embassy, which is something I'm working on. So if you guys can help me out, please. No, I'm just kidding. But I am. Like, I got so close because I got in there and I didn't sneak anything in. And now I'm having to go back and do it all over again. So
that's what I mean by he's very impatient. He just ran through the thing, killed the first dragon, got all his testosterone going. But he didn't go and collect things that were vital to where he's at now. So now he has to go all the way back and go into these things, collect all these things that he knows he needs to kill this next dragon.
Right.
He's got to get into the monastery or the sanctuary, and he's got to give some items to one of the guys there that's going to help him actually move to the next level. So
yeah, so right now
I'm
doing a little bit of backtracking, but it's not that bad. It's a fun game. The good thing is that the game is just outrageous. So,
and I knew he was going to love it. So
for those of you who have, I don't know what it's on. I have Xbox 360. I'm an old school cat. Like, I don't like, it's not so much that I don't like. I can't afford things. Like, I won't just pay for luxuries that I can't afford. We have a nice 120 gig Xbox that we found with controller and everything
for 50 60 bucks.
Oh, 60 yeah, bucks. $60 bucks online. Like, I mean, come on. Mm-mm. You guys, that's
offer up.
So yeah, offer up again. So thank you guys. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just a really cool game, really dope, kind of story and everything. So on top of that, as we said from the very, very beginning of this episode, we are excited to have our friend Trevor be coming. So for anybody out there that could help in any way, whether it be sharing with someone that you know would be willing to help, or just any little bit. Like, trust me when I say, like, $5 really does go a long way. If you have it, just, you know.
And all it's paying for really is to get him from Oklahoma, and he's driving. He doesn't have a car, so we're going to have to get him a U-Haul. And he's driving from Oklahoma to Las Vegas.
It started out as a truck thing, but now it's like, it's either, it may still even be that, where he has to do something like that and just get a trailer, like a little jalopy. So, but if necessary, we'll just get him the truck and load his, because he's got a house full of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just him. It's him and his cat. He's got a cat. And, you know, so we're just trying to get him out here. It's important. He's got to be out by the end of the month. His birthday is actually the 25th of this month. So it's kind of, we're doing everything we can, you guys. So please go to the GoFundMe. It's on our Facebook and our Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I believe I also shared it on our Twitter page account. So, I don't know. What else are we, do we have any, what are we looking forward to this?
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day, baby. That's right.
Hearts, love, and kisses. Chocolates. You know.
Cupid.
Love, Megan.
All that good stuff.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, baby.
So make sure you guys take care of each other for Valentine's Day. And just don't make it Valentine's Day. It should be every day.
Yeah, show love.
Every day.
Show love to the ones you really love. Yeah, really does. You know,
tonight I made my husband's favorite.
Oh my God, spaghetti.
I made homemade spaghetti with, I get my
homemade meatballs,
Italian sausage, mix it with my ground beef, add some Italian seasoning, and make little meatballs, throw them in the oven, get my sauce,
Make the sauce. Hey, if you've seen Goodfellas, you guys already know about that sauce.
We already talked to you about the sauce.
We told you about the sauce. All right? We don't got to go on anymore about the sauce.
And then, of course, my Barilla spaghetti noodles.
Barilla. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once they're done, I just add the meatballs to the sauce and made us some dinner. Like, I looked at Desmond's plate and I said, babe, are you starving? He's like, no, but I've been smelling that damn spaghetti since you started it.
And it just got in my nose and it was like, I gotta eat it. And then, of course, as soon as, like, I'm getting to the end, I'm down to the last meatball and I can't do it because I'm already getting the meat sweats. You know, I'm already starting to get, oh, man, is it hot in here? Do we need to turn the fan on? Can we open up a window in here?
Then I slapped him. He said, do you always have to slap my hair? No, I'm kidding.
Hey, do you always got to slap my hair? Hey, my hair.
So, yeah, I made spaghetti. So, you know, I love to cook. That's my way of showing him my appreciation for all he does. And, you know, and he does the same thing. For my lunch today, he went out there and fried me up a little eggy and put it in some toast, and I had an egg sandwich. So it's about taking care of each other. Don't wait till Valentine's Day to give hearts and candy and love. Do it every day.
And that, not just to the ones that your girlfriends, boyfriends, husband, wife, but to your family, you know.
Mothers, fathers, your grannies, your grandpas.
You know, there's a lot of ways to show love, even if you guys can't be together. You know, everybody's doing what they can to try to be more interactive. And I know, I'm working at this myself. I need to, like, I talk to my dad a lot. Mm-hmm. The good thing is I speak with him at least weekly, sometimes several times a week. But I'd like to be able to see him. That's a big thing, you know. So I keep, like, in my head, I can't wait till I see him. And I don't know if that's going to be anytime in the near future. I don't know what it's going to be like. You know, if it's going to be, oh, hey, we got to stop for a second and then we got to go, you know.
And we're talking because of COVID, guys, you know. And we're here in Vegas and Poppy Jean is in California. So we want to see him and Joanne. But it's really because, you know, just the situations. We got Uncle Jimmy that's out there too that we want to see so bad and desperately, but they're older, you know, and We just don't want to take any chances with their health.
And look, we have family. We're not going to put people out there, but we have family inside that's literally in ICU right now.
So that's what I was going to bring up. My niece, Chelsea, and her husband, Alex. Alex's stepdad, Ronnie, he's in ICU right now in Colorado with COVID. He's in an induced coma. And he's got pneumonia really bad. So I'm just asking for everyone to say a prayer for Mr. Ronnie and Miss Michelle, that Ronnie gets better, and, to have these doctors watch over him. And not just him, it's everybody that has this virus. It's taken a lot of lives. There's been a lot of people lost. I mean, I've lost uncles this year, and family members, like I said,
so many friends.
A week or two ago, I told you that a mother and son, which I grew up with, Stella and Jesse Portillo, actually passed away in Presbyterian Hospital in Whittier, same day. It was just tragic for that family. It sucks,
and I'm going to tell you guys, like, I know how it felt when I fell out from having this. It scared me unlike anything that, like, I've never been to the hospital, you guys. You got to understand. Like, I've been in an outpatient emergency stuff because, you know, you step on a damn nail or do something stupid, you know. You go get beat up, you go to, you know, urgent care or whatever. But this was unlike anything that, this is my, you know, it was my first time ever, and it was like a week and a half in the hospital. And it was luckily, you know, fortunately, when I had it, I was working. And I think, look, the fact of the matter is, I think I got it early because I was driving. I was driving at the time. That's what I was doing. I was traveling, meeting all these different people, touching all this different stuff. And somewhere along the line, look, a lot of the stuff we were getting was from China.
He got it before they actually named it COVID. And my daughter
both. I got it in 2019, you guys. Yeah. Okay, let me just give you some context. I got this in about June, July of 2019. Okay, so well before anybody had heard about it, but I got laid off at the end of that year, literally right before they laid us off. I had just gotten past my first year with them. My first year anniversary was the day after Thanksgiving. That was the day that I started, and I got laid off the day before Christmas Eve. A year after. So it was like a year and like a month to the date we got laid off. And I had had it. Luckily, during that time, I had had it. But they laid us off. And I don't know if they were consolidating, because they did stay open. I kept in communication with my boss. But I'm going to tell you guys, it scared the hell out of me. It scared me like nothing else. Like, I'd never been that close to where, like, I could see only light and hear everything around me. That's all I could tell you. Like, I could see bright light and just hear. I could hear everybody clearly, perfectly. Everybody who was talking to me. I could hear the people who were helping me at the bar where I fell out outside. I could hear the emergency guys that when they put me in the ambulance. I could hear everybody that was working on me when I got to the hospital, until I finally came to, literally. But other than that, my eyes were rolling back in my head, and I was like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, I've never felt so out of control of myself. Like, no matter what I did, like, I couldn't pull myself out of that. So seeing now that there's so many people who have had this thing, and it's already come and gone, you know, and some people have passed, I'm just gonna say this to say, you guys, wherever you're at, just be careful about what you're doing. And I mean, I guess there's really no way to know. How do you know? This is like an invisible thing that we're all dealing with.
But do what you know you're supposed to do. Clean, wash, you know, when you pick things up or you're in an environment that you're not used to. You know, it's something that we were taught very young. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. You go to the restroom. You touch your private areas. You wash your hands.
So I just wanted to say again, prayers to Michelle and Mr. Ronnie. And my niece, Chelsea, and her husband, Alex, actually got tested for COVID today. But they both were feeling pretty sick. So they were just told 2 to 3 days they'll have their results. So it's like the entire family there may, in fact, all have COVID. So, Michelle and Ronnie, we're thinking about you, praying really hard, and we're asking that everybody that listens to us to please pray for all of us.
Please.
Prayer is a very powerful thing. So let's pray for Michelle and Ronnie and all the people around the world, because we're not the only ones that have COVID.
So look, you guys, I only mention this, and we always try to, because it's still very prevalent here, as much as we want to be able to enjoy life pre-COVID, the way that it was pre-COVID, post-COVID now, there is no post-COVID because we're still in the middle of it. But what I mean is, like, we're all looking for that, to get over that hill and, you know, now they're saying the second round is supposed to be worse. And you guys, just whatever you're doing, please just be safe. Be attentive, you know, be proactive and just, but love.
Take precaution and just do what you have to do. But don't leave your family out.
Love the ones
that you're with.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Show them. Say, hey, you guys, like, I love you guys. We miss you. Don't be afraid to say those things, because we're in a time where things are happening so quickly. Things are happening so, I mean, it seemed like everybody was looking for the end of 2020, and here we are, you know.
February of 2021,
and it's like we're still losing people. We literally just read earlier that Marty Schottenheimer, rest in peace, passed on. So you guys...
take care of each other.
Just take care of yourselves, please. And not just that, with that said, Liz and myself have come a long way to try to help, people out. And we're still doing that. I don't know what this program is or what this is doing for folks, because we're getting a lot of attention. And whatever happens from this, you know, I just want to be able to keep this going for you guys.
Right. We like to promote a lot of self-awareness, a lot of self-help. We promote love. We promote forgiveness. We promote living your life. And we promote everything that's positive. There's so much negative going on out there that you're not going to hear a bunch of negative stuff here.
Not in the context. Like, right. if anything that's negative, we're going to try to, like, look at whatever positives can be taken from it, you know. And not to say that everything negative is going to have some positive effect, but look, the thing is that nothing's going to change if we just keep talking about how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to do something about it. Change starts with you and me, you know, and that's what it comes down to. It starts with us. And I would like to say, you know, I am so proud of my crew, Weapon of the Masses. Edward, Travesty, Argue, you know, these guys are, you know, doing so much. We're doing so much to try to, like, put some new music out there. And, you know, I just wanted to personally give a shout out to those guys right now.
I'm still waiting for one of them to come up with a positive hip hop song right now.
We're working on that. I'm working on that myself. Like a whole positive, even just one verse would just be where there's nothing, no negative connotations whatsoever. I'm working on it. To be continued.
Yes.
But anyways, so we're going to wrap up now. We just want to say thank you again, you guys. Again, it's the 9th of February and, wherever you guys are at whatever time you're listening to this, whatever day you may be listening to this, we love you. If you need to hear that, just know that Liz and myself, we love you. We love you for the sheer fact that you made it through billions of other sperm to impregnate that egg, and you made it. So by simple virtue of that alone, you're
a winner.
You're a winner, and you're special.
Yes.
So we love you. You guys, thank you so much again for everything that you guys are doing as far as like listening. You guys are all stars, and if I could, I would give you all pennants and say thank you individually and not in a small group, but I have to do it like this right now. So thank you so much personally for me.
And just reach out our arms and just envelop you with a big hug and just say we love you. We love you so much. And remember to always live, laugh, love, take care of each other. We love you. Thank you.
See you guys.
Bye.